The Sfarno in his commentary on Chumash in several places points out that there's a difference between a brocha and a tefillah. The brocha is basically a tefillah, that Hashem should bless the person. So why do we call that a brocha? He says the difference is that a tefillah, you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bless Yankel. In a brocha, you say to Yankel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you. It's also a tefillah. The brocha is given b'loshen noichach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless you. So he has this in a few places in Chumash. It's interesting. And then he points out over here. What was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave? He says, Yechi Ruvain. He's talking to the Baal Shem. That's a tefillah. That's not a bracha. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. He's talking to the Baal Shem. Tumecho v'urecho liish chasidecho. Also, he's talking to the Baal Shem. This is not a bracha. He did Hashem Bishkon Labetoch Alav. He's also speaking to the Baal Shem. He doesn't speak to the person directly. He says the bracha doesn't begin until. He's speaking to Eretz Yisrael. He says that's the bracha, that's b'loshen nochach. That's the 25th pasuk. It says everything is just a warm-up. Shemisina bar b'zorach miseilam hafim hapar. That's an introduction to the bracha. Avcha v'vamim teretz yivolon Moshe. All of this is an introduction. It says, even when it says Reuven, Yehuda, and Levi, and Binyamin, and everything, it's all a warm-up. The bracha only begins barzal l'nechosh yitzmen alechem, when he gives the bracha to b'nei, the Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to cross over the Yarden, give the bracha from up close, so the bracha will be fully mekuyam. Like the Svarno explains, you have to give a bracha panim keneged panim. And Yaakov Avinu, when he gave the bracha to Yosef's children, so he held his hands on their heads. The closer you are to the one whom you're giving the bracha to, so the stronger the bracha will be. Shibay panim keneged panim, v'loshen nechach, and so on. Yaakov Emden was upset about the minig that developed in the 1500s that the Kohanim cover their faces when they duchen. They cover their faces so they won't look at their hands. And the other, the minig by us is they cover their hands so the tzibur can't see their hands. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden thought that it's not a good idea because it's in a certain sense a violation upon him, keneged upon him. He wanted that the bracha should be up close. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to cross over the Yarden in order to give the bracha from up close, barzal l'nechoshes min olecho, Eretz Yisrael should be secure. Uchiyamecho davechon, like the early days, like in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that the Jewish army was successful in securing all of Eretz Yisrael, there was no trouble from the outside. Uchiyamecho davecho, in Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, in its old age, should be secure, they shouldn't have any terrorists. But because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish Bnei Yisrael because of the Chet HaEgel, because of the Chet HaMeraglim, he wanted to punish Bnei Yisrael that they should be sent into Golus. So he didn't want the Brocha Moshe Rabbeinu to be fully Mikoyim. So he didn't allow Moshe Rabbeinu to cross over the Yarden to give the Brocha from up close. So the first half of the Brocha was Mikoyim. Barzal l'nechoshes min alecha in the early years. But the second half, Uchiyamecha d'abechem, like the early days, there it's always secure, so too, forever it'll be secure. That part of the bracha was not mekuyim. An interesting einfach that the v'zayis habracha sheberach Moshe begins from it's the whole pasuk is barzal nechosh is menalecha. One pasuk, that's the whole bracha. Everything until that is just the hakdama. Very interesting einfach. Torah tzivalon Moshe, Marosha kihilas Yaakov. There are two different words. One word is Yerusha, one word is Marosha. Yerusha is an inheritance. If a man dies, a wealthy man dies, and then his son gets the Yerusha, the son can do whatever he wants with the Yerusha. He can squander it away, he can waste the money, he can put it in a bank, he can invest it wisely. Marosha is not an inheritance, that's a heritage. In English, the two different words. Heritage means something that you got, that you have to see that you transmit it to the next generation. So in the Chumash, there are only two things that are called Marasha. One is Torah Tzivalon and Marasha. we have an obligation to transmit this heritage to the future generations in its entirety. You have to see the Torah shouldn't be forgotten. And Eretz Yisrael says, "V'nasati osa lechem morasha ani Hashem." You have to see to it that Eretz Yisrael should be transmitted to the next generation. We can't negotiate to give away parts of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. When the United Nations, when the League of Nations had a partition plan in the 1930s, 1937, whatever it was, so they wanted the Jews to sign that, wanted all both sides to sign that the British are going to give this part of Palestine to the Jews and that part of Palestine to the Arabs. So the many Rabbanim said, you're not allowed to sign. How can you sign away to give part to the Arabs? Others said, you don't have anything. You're not signing away anything. The Jews don't have anything. The British have. So we're signing that. We thank you very much for taking our half. We're not signing away the other half. And others held, you're not allowed to sign such an agreement. You're not allowed to sign that you're agreeing to give away part of Eretz Yisrael to the Arabs. Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a morosha, supposed to be a heritage that you transmit to the next generation. Shevet Levi was supposed to be singled out. Yoram Mishpatecha Liyakim V'Sayroscha Yisrael. Shevet Levi was chosen, that they're supposed to be the Chevra who are learning. That's the Koilal of Kol Yisrael. They're supposed to be learning and paskening Shailas. And when you have a choice of appointing people to a Bezdin, to a Sanhedrin, and you have two candidates, so if one of them knows how to learn better than the other, so you take the better person. What if they're approximately equal, and one of them is a Levi? So then the Rambam quotes from the Tanoim, you should appoint the Levi, because that's what the function of the Levim is. It's supposed to be paskening shailos. Yoram mishpatecha liyakim v'sarosko, so it goes on the whole Shevet Levi. So the Vechik family are Levim, so they feel that they were chosen to teach Torah, well, together with all the rest of all the Levim. But the second half of the pasuk, Yisim Torah be'apeh v'chalal mizbechecha, that only goes on the Kohanim. The Levim are not allowed to be maktik Torahs. The pasuk reads, Yisim Torah be'apecha, they're maktik Torahs, Baruch Hashem chelo. Hashem should bless them that they should become rich. So that's what the Gemara understood from the pasuk, that haktoris haktoris is gula for Ashiras. So that's why every day when they would... the Kohanim were divided into mishmaras. There were 24 mishmaras, and every week a different mishmar would come to the Beis HaMikdash to function, and then the mishmaras were divided into six. But the Yovel, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday through Friday, there were six. Then on Shabbos, everybody went home, and whoever stayed behind, so all of the six mishmaras of Sunday through Thursday would all take care of all the hakrovas hakarbonis on Shabbos. So the... And they would have a whole system how to determine who's going to do Mishoychet, who's going to do the Shechita, who's going to do the Kabbalah Adam, who's going to do Halochas Adam, who's going to do Zrikas Adam, who's going to do Aktoris Emurim. And the Mishnah says, Chadashim Aktoris Bo'ov Hofisa, when they had the pious, when they had the system to determine who's going to do which Avodah, so they didn't allow someone who already had a chance once to be Makhtar Ktoris to be Makhtar a second time. Chadashim Aktoris Bo'ov Hofisa. Who never had a chance before to be Makhtar Ktoris, because they wanted to spread the wealth. Why should the same person always be Zechet to get the Ktoris? And HaKtoris, HaKtoris is his Gula of Hashiris, Baruch Hashem Chelo. So they used to only insist, whoever never had a chance yet to be, unless everybody already had a chance to be Makhtar Ktoris, then try for a second time. So in Shulchan Aruch they quote, the Rama quotes that this is, we assume... The question is where this assumption comes from, that serving as a sandik for a baby is a school of Farshiris also. Just like Torah, so too sandikos is a school of Farshiris. And they shouldn't be mechabit the same person to be a sandik twice in the same family. Shouldn't be mechabit twice. Rabban Levine was killed by the Nazis. He was the rabbi in Reisha. His grandson used to be teach economics there. He was my first cousin. He died young. He died on his birthday. He was born by the Seder, and he died by the Seder, first night of Pesach. Tzadikim. Tzadikim, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adam, and he died on Zayin Adam. Tzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamali, Shnosem, Yom, Yom. So the grandfather of Abayim Levin wrote Sfarim al Chumash. That's called Hadrash VeHo'iyun. Interesting Heoris. He has halacha and he has. He was a big rabbi, a big Talmid Chacham. He was the Aguda representative in the Sejm, in the Polish Parliament, because he spoke very well. He was a good speaker in Polish and in Yiddish. He was very good. So he has in his sefer, he thinks that this minig, not to be mechaber twice on the course, only if you mechaber the rabbi, a stranger, but if you mechaber the grandfather, he thinks the grandfather can serve more than once, because the pasuk says, "Gam b'nei bocha b'menashe yuldu al birke Yosef," the end of Chumash Bereishis, and the Targum Yonasan, that in Zil, and that pasuk says that yuldu al birke Yosef means is gizoru, that Yosef was the sonic for his great grandchildren, and it says, for all the great-grandchildren, Gad ben Bachra Menashe, all of the grandchildren, all the great-grandchildren, he functioned as the son. So he thinks that the great-grandfather, the grandfather, even more than once, but the rabbi, it applies to the rabbi. The Vilna Gaon says he never saw it. When it says in Shulchan Aruch that Sadegos has school of Ashiras, the Vilna Gaon says he never saw it. Rabbi Soloveitchik said also, he served many times as a sandek, and he never became rich. I remember when Rabbi Soloveitchik said it, so Rabbi J.J. Schechter's father used to come to the Shia. We used to sit next to each other. His name was Rabbi Herschel Schechter. We used to sit next to each other. He was my father's age. He had a shul in the Bronx that wasn't so active in the middle of the week. And the lady wasn't so busy, so he came to the Shia. And Rabbi Soloveitchik said that. So Rabbi Schechter, Zechon Lebracha, said that it says in the Svarim, he said it in Yiddish, it says in the Svarim that Ashiris is understood by each person differently. By Balabatam, Ashiris means wealth, money. By Talmid Chacham, Ashiris means Ashiris and learning. So he said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you're very rich. That's what they say. The Stipula served as a Sandik many times, and he felt his Ashiris was, that he published so many Svarim. Others say that the real sandikos is if you're sandik from the beginning to the end. You held the baby not only during the bris, you held the baby when they said the brachas as well. That's called amid ala bracha, the one who holds the baby. So in Shulchan Aruch they call that sandik sheni. That's called the sandik sheni. Rabbi Gifter once mentioned that when he was an American who went to learn in Europe, he learned in Tel, so he picked up a lot of Hanhogas from Tel. So he says, and it tells the yeshiva in Europe, if they wanted to be mechabed, well, someone would have a bris, and they wanted to mechabed one of the rabbonim to say the bracha, Ashikidish Yedid Me Beten. So they would say, what? Mechubed with chazanis. They didn't consider that a kibbut. The kibbut was to be the amida ala bracha, either to be the sandik, or to be the sandik sheni, to hold the baby. When someone else says the bracha, that's a bigger kibbut. They say the bracha is a kibbut from chazanis. They didn't think highly of that. That's Sandik Sheni. So that's what some of Farshim and the Shulchan Aruch say, that Sandikos is Gula Varshiris. If you're the Sandik from the beginning to the end, you hold the baby while they do the bris, and Sandik Sheni also, when they're saying all the brachas as well, when they give the name. The Gemara has another interpretation on the pasuk. There's more than one interpretation. Baruch Hashem Chela means that Haktoris Haktoris is his Gula Farshirut. That's why many have a practice that they recite on the Shalma Farm Sarsenu. If you don't have a Beis Hamikdash and you can't be Makar Karbonis, so if you read about the Karbonis, Mala and the Aleim, Kilu Hikrivim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll consider it as if they brought the Karbonis. That's what we had the Rabbi Yoina on the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. He says you're allowed to say Parshas HaKarbonis Balpeh, even though you're not allowed to say Psukim from Chumash Balpeh, because Parshas HaKarbonis, that's a Din D'Oraisa, that Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, and the Shalma Farm Sarsenu. So there are people who recite the Parshas HaKtoris every day, as a school of Farshis, even if they're not Kohanim Olamim, even if they're not Kohanim, they recite Parshas HaKtoris. Supposed to be a school of Farshis. So that's one interpretation. Baruch Hashem Chelo, the Haktoris Haktoris should serve as a school of Farshis. But then the Gemara has another interpretation. Baruch Hashem Chelo, Afilu Chalolim Shebo, even if a Kohen was a Cholol and he's Makrib, the Karbonis B'diyevet will be kosher. Baruch Hashem Chelo. That's a Machlokes HaTanoim, and a Machlokes HaBlezer, and a Rebbe Yeshua. That's how we pass like Rebbe Yeshua. Just as Shaila, Taisus, and the Rambam, Taisus learns in the Gemara, that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara, The Rambam is unusual pshat. Pasha pshat Nigmar is only if he was a cholol she'ini yodua. At the time that it was makruv de karbonis, no one was aware of the fact that he was a cholol. It wasn't public knowledge. And it's only after he did the hakrobas hakarbonis, then we discover that he was a cholol. So then b'di'evid, the hakrobas hakarbonis hakosher, you don't have to repeat it. Baruch Hashem chela, chela means afilo chalolim shabo. It's not a zgula for hashiris. Hashem should bless the avodah, even if it's done by a cholol. The Rambam has a chiddush. He says, even if it's a cholol yodua, even if it was known in advance that he was a cholol. And he went ahead and he was makriv to karbon. Also b'di'evid, the korban will be kosher. That's a big chiddush. But that's the din. A balmum who is makruv karbon is b'di'evid, it's pasul. That's the posik in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas. What does it say in Pinchas? Doesn't know it's brisi shalom. He didn't know some of those brisi shalom. So the word shalom has a vav in it. And it's a vav ketia. It's a broken vav. It's not a normal vav. It doesn't have the whole letter. It has an empty space in the middle. What is that all about? So the Gemara says, we darshan as if the word were written shalem. He didn't know some of those brisi if he's shalem, if the coin is not a balmum. If the coin is a balmum, b'di'evet abedosa mechulalas. If the coin is a cholol, b'di'evet abedosa ksher. If the coin is a balmum, b'di'evet abedosa mechulalas. If anything, it should have been the reverse. Sechel should have dictated the reverse. A coin is a balmum, is a coin. He's not allowed to be metam lemesim. He's not allowed to marry a grusha. All the dinim of kuna, he's permitted to eat chatas and asham. He's a regular coin. It's just that he has a psul. He's not allowed to be makro karbonis, a cholol. Cholol in Hebrew means empty space, vacuum, empty vacuum. This is cholol, avir. Cholol means where there's nothing there. So cholol means it's emptied out from Kedusha's kuna. The father married a giyoris, or the father married a grusha, so the children will all be cholol. Cholol means emptied out from Kedusha's kuna. So if anything, it should have been, if we wouldn't have had any psukim, you'd ask us, what does the svara say? The svara should dictate the reverse. That the balmum is a kohen, so b'di'evet avedosa should be ksheira, and the cholol is mamish not a kohen at all. He's allowed to marry a grusha. You would have thought that the eretz avedosa mecholamis. So the din doesn't always follow the svaras. Shiva Bacham think that they can paskin all the shilas with the svaras. He can't. The svaras are sometimes applicable, sometimes not. Here the din is just the reverse from the svara. The psukim speak about the relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun. Smach Zvulun b'tzei sechel v'yisboi alechoi. Yisachar should be matzlich and learning. Shevet Yisachar was known. The Pasuk in Dibra Yaman says, B'nei Yisachar, yede bina li'itim. That the B'nei Yisachar were very into learning, and many of them were appointed into the Bez Nagadol, and they were in charge. The Bez Nagadol was in charge of establishing the Luach. The Bez Nagadol, he didn't need all 71 members of the Bez Nagadol, but you needed the Bez Nagadol should appoint, should choose the Bez Nav 3 to do the Kiddush HaChodesh, or the Bez Nav 3, 5, and 7 to do the Ibra Hashanah. So the Mnei Yisachar Yodei Bino Le'itim, they knew how to be Kaveh Azmanim. So Zvulun Yisachar, that's how the Gemara says, made a deal. Zvulun made a parnasa, smach Zvulun mitzei secha, he traveled around the world to make money. And Yisachar would sit and learn. And they made a deal together that they're going to share the schar of the learning and going to share the schar of the parnasa. If he makes $500,000, supposed to give $250,000 to the Yisachar. Not that he gives him $100,000. He's supposed to give $250,000. And whatever Zvulun makes, he's supposed to divide it in half. He gave half of it to Yisachar. The first Mishnah in Zvachim has a Tanashim and Achi Azariah. Normally we identify people are Abloza ben Azariah. You say by the father's name. What's that, Tanashim and Achi Azariah? So the Gemara said, because his brother supported him, they made a deal. Like Zvulun, Yisachar and Zvulun made a deal. And he was learning while the other one was going to work. So the schar for their learning was also divided in half. So this was the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu gave before he died. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him he should go up on Har Nebo and he should look in Eretz Yisrael. What did he accomplish by looking? Vayarehu Hashem es kol ha'aretz. He showed him Eretz Yisrael. So there's a Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara says the areas that Moshe Rabbeinu saw were niskadosh b'kedushas ha'aretz. The histaklus of Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished that somehow he helped to give kedushas ha'aretz. So the Zohar has an interesting comment that earlier the Chumash tells the story in the end of Chumash Bamidbar that they were bitten by Nechoshim Hasrafim. The people were being attacked by snakes. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told he should make Nechash and Nechoshes. By Smehu Alanes, he put it on a tall stick. And then whoever was bitten by a Nechosh would look at the Nechash and Nechoshes Bechoy, and he would be cured. So the Zohar asked the question, if a person needs medication, he goes to the drugstore, he looks at the medication, it gets better. You have to swallow it, you have to rub it into the skin, you have to apply it to the body. What does it help if you look? So the Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu on his Madrega and the whole Dor HaMidbar were under his influence. If you looked at it, so you got better. If you looked at the Nechash and Nechoshes, you got better. You didn't have to actually apply it to your body. So on the Madrega, Moshe Rabbeinu, he looked at Eretz Yisrael, and his histaklus enabled him to endow Eretz Yisrael with a degree of Kedusha. So the Gemara says such a lashon. Whatever Moshe Rabbeinu saw was chayv in Trumas and Maisis later on. Whatever he didn't see was not niskadosh for Trumas and Maisis later. The Chumash ends off. Oh. Thank you very much. L'chaim. Chumash ends off giving an obituary of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the machloikas in Mar Hashmone Psukim Shabbat Torah. Who wrote the Shmone Psukim Shabbat Torah? So in the first parak in Bava Basra, when the Gemara talks about the Tanakh, who wrote all the different svarim in the Tanakh? So there's a machloikas Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Kosov Sifro. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, this is called Taras Moshe. Who wrote the Shmone Psukim Shabbat Torah? So one opinion is of the one Tana is of the opinion that that it was written by Yeshua ben Nun. And Sefer Yeshua it says something about Yeshua ben Nun writing something. So that's what it's referring to. Yeshua ben Nun was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to add on the last section in the Chumash. We don't accept that opinion. We assume like the other Tana that it says. And last week said, "Vayikachalas Moshe Lichtav is called Dibur Torah Zoyis Atuma." Moshe Rabbeinu wrote everything, and he gave the Sefer Torah to Bnei Levi. Chanim and Levi, and he told them, "Nesata Moshe B'tzara Aram Bris Hashem, Hayisham B'chol Yeit." So it says he wrote the whole Torah Atuma till the very end. Till the very end means even this chelik also. So the Gemara, the generally accepted opinion, machlokes in history, who wrote the Shmona Pesukim Shabbat Torah? Generally accepted opinion is that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. It says in Sefer Yeshua, Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. He wrote Sefer Yeshua. It doesn't say that he wrote the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah. He wrote the Sefer Yeshua. But the Gemara says the Kriyas HaTorah for the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah is different. Yochid Kari Yosem. According to the one Tana, Yochid Kari Yosem, because it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a lower level of Kedusha. And according to the way it's usually assumed, that we assume, like the other Tana, that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu until the very end. They ain't called Israel. So true, it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but still it was Nishtana. It was different from the rest of the Chumash. So that's why you have this din of Yochid Kari Yosem. What exactly does it mean, Yochid Kari Yosem? So that's in Shulchan Aruch, they have the different Pshatim. So the Rambam has them, Mechudish Dikam Pshat, Yochid Kari Yosem means you don't need a minion. Usually for Kriyas HaTorah, the Mishnah Megillah says that you need a minyan asara, because Kriyas HaTorah is a dovish of Bikdusha. We say Baruch HaShem Baruch to emphasize the fact that it's a dovish of Bikdusha, but even if you wouldn't say Baruch Hu, Kriyas HaTorah itself constitutes a dovish of Bikdusha. That's a question. What's the definition of dovish of Bikdusha, that Kriyas HaTorah should be considered a dovish of Bikdusha? That's a good question. Maybe in the course of the year we'll have to work on that to discuss it. So Kriyas HaTorah is a Dovish HaBikdusha, needs Asara. The Lesh Shmona Psukim is not a Dovish HaBikdusha. You don't need a minyan. So the Ravid writes on the Rambam, where did the minyan disappear? What they learned was Zaysa Bracha, they needed a minyan for the first Aliyas. Then the minyan disappeared, and you don't have a minyan at the end. He doesn't think that that's correct. So what does it mean, Yochi Kariyosam? So Rashi learns, Pshat Yochi Kariyosam, you don't make Kaisophis over here. One person should lay in it as one long aliyah. You're not supposed to make any Kaisophis. Tosis has a different shot. Yochi Kariyosam, that usually by Kriyas HaTorah, the Balkorei lanes, and the Olal HaTorah lanes along. And over here, the Shmanim Pesuk Meshabbat Torah, Yochi Kariyosam, you shouldn't have a Balkorei lane and the Olal HaTorah should lane along. The Olal HaTorah should lane on his own. And Tosis is not happy with that pshat because they claim that this institution of having a Balkorei lane and the Olal HaTorah lanes along didn't exist in the days of the Gemara, in the days of the Mishnah, in the days of the Gemara. Whoever got the Aliyah was the Balkorei. They didn't have a Balkorei Kavua. That institution was began in the days of the Gaonim. That's what we spoke about on our Gemara, in Brochus. The Gemara says that you have to learn Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, so the Ravon, and the Shadus HaTshuvos in the beginning of the Sefer Ravon, he interprets, you need Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum for the farmers who don't have a minyan, they don't go to shul, so they're missing the Balkorei lanes and the Olal HaTorah lanes along with them, so he's missing the farmer who doesn't have a minyan, he's missing Shnai Mikra, and the Meturgamon is going to say the Targum Unkla, so he should make up what he's missing. So the Pashto says that it's problematic. That pshat is problematic. If that's what it means, Shnai Mikra, the Balkorei lanes and the Olal HaTorah lanes, so that's problematic. So someone suggested a different pshat. We were supposed to check it up. Maybe not that the Olal HaTorah lanes along that didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. It means the Gabbai who stands on the side, the Gemara says, the Torah of Maamar HaSinai was given, Ayidei Sarsur, there was a man in between, Moshe Rabbeinu, was there negotiating between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael. As if the Ribbono Shel Olam told the Dinim to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said it over to Bnei Yisrael. That's Eres HaDibros, that's what happened. And the others, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu said it over. So we have the Kriyas HaTorah, as if the Gabbai is telling the Balkorei to lane, and then the Balkorei lane. So it's as if you have Shnai Mikra. That's what someone suggested. Pashim Shat, I think in the Ravon it says Beferish. Did anybody check it out? I think it says Beferish to the Shnai Mikra that the farmer misses is the Balkorei and the Olal HaTorah lane. So that's, Tosis is not happy with that pshat. Yochid Kurios means you don't have the institution of the Balkorei with the Olal HaTorah. He said, Bizmana Gemara, they didn't have that institution. So in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes another pshat from the Mordechai. Yochid Kariyos means the Yochid HaMiyuchad. You give this last aliyah to the rabbi. Because it says that Yeshua ben Nun took over. Yeshua ben Nun took over after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So we finished the Sefer Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu died. And we have our rabbi, our 23-year-old rabbi, who's taking the place of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we're going to listen to him. Just like we listened to Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to listen to him. I remember once they asked me to speak for the OU at some function, so I spoke and I was ready to leave. And then someone who was there whispered to me, I should stay. I should stay because after the dinner, I was the last speaker before supper, some hotel on the outskirts of New York somewhere. So a group of boys from the yeshiva drove me there. So they said I should stay because it's going to be an important session. Afterwards, I should hear. So I said, well, what about all the boys? Said, it's okay, all the boys can eat supper. So we all ate supper, and then afterwards there was a session. So they had the leadership of the OU was sitting in the front, and then the people were asking questions. So the first question they ask is, who is the posek for the OU? So one of the rabbis was a very tzimtzumi rabbi. He passed away already, a very nice rabbi. So he wasn't a politician. So he said, what do you mean, who was the posek? Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Belsky, Paskin, all the Shilas and Kashos. So the one who asked the question chuckles, I don't mean and Kashos. I'm talking about politics. And I have a Shila about what to do in Washington and what to push for. Who Paskins for them? So the answer is they don't ask any Shilas. That's the answer. So they were afraid to say what the answer is. So one of the leadership, one of the members of the leadership started giving a gansa drosha, It could be Rabbi Soloveitchik still alive at that time, but he was very sick at the end of his life. So he said, well, Rabbi Soloveitchik was healthy, so they asked him all the shilas. But now that he's not healthy, so there's no one left in the world to ask the shilas to. So that's what the practice is. Yochid Kariyosim, you give the 23-year-old rabbi the aliyah, Chosin Torah, and we say that just like Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua Ben Nun took over, we're going to respect our rabbi. We appointed him. Yeshua Ben Nun Mali Rochach, Mikasamach Moshe Olav, Yishmaelai Bnei Yisrael. He asked, Kashatim Hashem is Moshe. They listen to Yeshua Ben Nun. When Rabbi Soloveitchik is not around, you ask other people the shanas. The world doesn't come to an end. We have an old minig that's mentioned in Masechah Sofrim. It goes back to the day. Masechah Sofrim is written by the Goyne Yeretz Yisrael. But it could be that some of those minhagim go back to the days of the Tanoim and the days of the Amorim. So there's a minig to read Koheles on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We read all the different Megillas on the Yom Tov. So there's a Pirush HaRamban on Koheles, where they're not sure if it's written by the Ramban, but whoever wrote it, so he interprets on the opening pasuk, Havel Havalim, Amar Koheles Havel Havalim, that the word Havel, it doesn't say Hevel Havalim, that's how it says in the Niggun, Hevel Havalim, but in the pasuk it says Havel Havalim. Havel is a tzivui, that's how the Ramban says, Havel Havalim, you should be Mahabel Havalim. If something is nourishkeit, you should dismiss it, you shouldn't waste your time. Havel Havalim Amar Koheles. In English, there's an expression, there's nothing new under the sun. The simple pshat is that's a literal translation. Ein kol chodesh tachas hashemesh. That's in Pasuk Tes over here. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that that's not what it means. The word tachas, let's say, shalim shalim shor tachas ashor. You pay ashor under ashor. Nothing new under the sun. Under the sun means on the earth. So shor tachas hashor means a shor under another shor. No, it means instead of, to replace the other shor. My shor killed your shor. I have to pay shor tachas hashor. So here also Rashi quotes in the Medrash, en kol chodesh tachas hashemesh. The shemesh is limud haTorah, because olam hazeh is doim alayla. The Pasuk says in Borchi Nafshi, in Tehillim, that's what the Gemara quoted, the five Pesukim in Tehillim that have Borchi Nafshi as Hashem. So one of them says, Toshes Choshech Lihi Loila Bo Simras Kachai Seyuar. That it gets dark outside, and you can't see anything, and there's a jungle, and all the wild animals are roaming around in the jungle. Bo Simras Kachai Seyuar. What is that a description of? So the Gemara says to in Bava Mitzia around Daf Pei Bava. So say Ha'el Mazeh Shadoim Ala Laila. Ha'el Mazeh is compared to Laila. In what sense is Doim Ala Laila? So the Mesil Sushaim writes in his introduction, Balaila people can make two types of mistakes. You'll see a lamppost and you think that it's a person. You see a person, you think that it's a lamppost. You can make a mistake Lemalusa and Ligriusa. You think that it's more important than it really is. You thought it's a person. Think that it's less important, you thought it's a lamppost. So, Bo'elam Hazeh, people make all kinds of mistakes, because it's very unclear. People think that the mitzvahs are averus, and averus are mitzvahs. Half the world, 99.99% of the world is celebrating on Yom HaAtzmaut, and the lunatics are saying kinnis, that the Hakamas HaMedina was the greatest tragedy that occurred in the history of the world, when he established the Medina. It's the biggest avera to be a Zionist. It's unclear whether something is a mitzvah or whether something is an avera. You cheat on income tax. A lot of people think it's the biggest mitzvah in the world. And I think Mara assumes that it's a big avera. You're stealing. You're stealing from all the other people that are paying the taxes. Our taxes are high because the other people are cheating on income tax. So the map said, so olam hazeh is doim alayla, because people make a mistake in both directions. They think that mitzvahs are averas. They think that averas are mitzvah. Everything is very unclear. So how do you gain any illumination? Gives you an illumination. So that's what you say. Torah is referred to as the Shemesh. So the pasuk says, "En kocharash," outside of the realm of liman haTorah, there are no chidushim. En kocharash tachas haShemesh, instead of the Shemesh, doesn't mean nothing to under the sun. That's other psukim in Koheles, where it says the history repeats itself. Okay, that's another thing. But this pasuk, the additional level of interpretation that the Medrash has is that chidushim only appear in the liman haTorah. In all other areas, there are no chidushim. So in the biographies of the Chazon Ish, they quote that they once asked him, how can it be? We learn in the yeshivas, so let's say the yeshivas, we're learning brachas, the others are learning sukkah, you have the same text, the exact same Gemara. It was printed, the Vilna Shas was printed over 100 years ago, in the late 1800s. And it's the same Gemara, the same text from 2,000 years ago. Everything is exactly the same. The Chumash is the same. Tanakh is exactly the same. Everybody learns exactly the same. A textbook in college is always different every year. Physics and chemistry and biology, everything, they discover new things. And they have to rewrite all the textbooks. They have to reorganize all the information that they have. And they have inventions that they never existed before because they discovered so many more things. So they have airplanes and smartphones and everything, so many different things. And the Torah always stays the same. So what do you mean? The no chidushim outside of liman haTorah. En kocharish outside of... The chidushim are only in liman haTorah. Isn't it just the reverse? The chidushim in the secular world, there are chidushim all the time. In the liman haTorah, everything is exactly the same. So the Chazon Ish responded, so he said... In the world of physics and chemistry and biology, everything was created in Shesh Yismei Bereishis. Nothing changed, except that we never knew all the secrets of the Bria. So as the years go on, we keep on discovering more about the body, and the doctors have different procedures now, how to take care of all the different sicknesses, and if every doctor today will treat a patient like they used to treat him 5 years ago, he'll lose his license, because that's outdated. It's like from 1,000 years ago. Like, see, five years ago they treated patients so differently from the way they treat it now. That's like the difference between 5 years ago and 1,000 years ago. Medicine was totally different. But nothing changed in the world. The way the Ribbono Shel Olam set up the world, the rules of physics and chemistry and biology, everything was there from Shesh Yismei Bereishis. We're just discovering everything, and we have inventions that are just based on these discoveries, but there's no chidushim. There's no chidushim in the sense no one's changing anything. But in liman haTorah, when people learn Torah, there's chidush. In every generation, there's talmud vasik, osed l'chadush. People come up with chidushim. The Chazon Ish seems to be assuming, we mentioned that there's a question. There was a machlokes, the Rambam and the Gaonim. What are the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpam all about? So the Gaonim are of the opinion every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Literally, they take it literally, the Midrashim. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And the Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpam are just to check to make sure that your tradition is correct. But every din you have to have a Kabbalah, a Masor. And the Tanoim and Amoraim never invented any new dinim based on Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpam. It's just a way to check whether your traditions are correct or not. And the Rambam says, in the Akdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah, said, that's utterly ridiculous. The Midrash HaTorah and Drash HaSpam are for the purpose of reading in between the lines and coming up with new chidushim that were not given to Masor. And he says that's where there's room for machlokes. According to the Gaonim, every single machlokes indicates that they were shikha, that they forgot what the din was. You had to have a masara at every single din. You can't use the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSpam to come up with a new din. The Rambam says it's not true. Whatever they had a masara, whatever they had a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and there's no room for machlokes. Machlokes because they wanted to come up to be mechadish a new din that there never was any tradition on at all. So then they had a machlokes. And now on the assumption, we usually assume like the Rambam. That's the way it's always assumed. Rabbi Samson Reifel Hirsch has accepted the view of the Gaonim, that all the dinim were a masora, and the Yud Gimel Midrash is just to check that your masora is accurate. But that's not usually the way it's assumed. It's usually assumed like the Rambam, that the Yud Gimel Midrash are for the purpose of being mechadish new dinim. When you mechadish a new din, so we mentioned the Chido wrote many svarim. So the Chido has one sefer on Megillas Rus that's called Simchas HaRegel. So he quotes a machlokes achrayim when a bezin is mechadish a new din, shnas topshin ayin zayin, a mechadish a new din. Does that din only apply mikan al abo? Or do you say no? They came up with a new din. So this was the din from the days of Matan Torah on. It just we didn't know it, but we discovered it. It's a discovery we discovered today. So the way the Chazon Ish is quoted in the old biographies in the Pe'er HaTorah, he seems to hold like the first way. That just like if the Chachamim invent a new Gzeira de Rabbanon, a new Din de Rabbanon, that's only Mikan al Habo. When they invent a new Din de Rabbanon, it's not a Gloy Milson Afred that it was always so. They can't make it ex post facto. It's only Mikan al Habo. So too, if the Bez and the Mechadish a new Din de Reis, so the new Din de Reis only applies Mikan al Habo. That until they would, that the Chidor has this in the Simchas HaRegel on Megillas Rus. It's a commentary on Megillas Rus. So he quotes, there's a machloikas harishayim, what's the din amoni v'loi amoni yo? Mayovi v'lo moavi yo. Was that a halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Or was that a din that they were machadesh when Rus HaMoavia came back to Eretz Yisrael? So he quotes a machloikas harishayim about that. The Briska Rav also quotes that machloikas harishayim, his little sefer on Tanakh. And then the Chidor quotes the machloikas achrayim, according to the opinions that amoni v'lo amonis, mayovi v'lo mayovis, was in Schadish at that time. They never had a tradition of their Machadish. Do you say it's a glory Muslim affair that that was always the din? That Moaviyah was always Matevah? So they say, no, it's only Mekan al Abba. When the Chachamim are Machadish at din, they're right, it's only Mekan al Abba. So the Chazon Ish seems to have assumed like that. When a Bezin is Machadish a new din, that's literally Chidush. Ain't Kochadish Tachas Hashemish. In the world of science, there are no Chidushim. There are discoveries. We're discovering what the rules were from Sheshes Mebreshes. The rules are not changing in the middle. The rules were always there, and it was always possible. Adam Marishan could have made a smartphone. If he would have known all the physics, he would have been able to make us. But because all the Metzias was there. Everything was there, just that he didn't know all the facts. And Adam Marishan could have done the heart surgeries that they do today. But he didn't know all the facts of biology. He didn't know. But nothing changed. In the world, nothing changed. Everything was always there. And in Liman HaTor, the Chazon Ish holds that it does change. The Chachamim in every generation can come up with new dinim that Yesh Me'ayin Mikan Al Abba. It's not that the din was always like that. That's a fantastic Chiddush. There's a Pasuk later in Koheles where the Pasuk says, Yireish Amayim Yetzi Yidei Shnehem. So the Medrash Koheles has a comment on that Pasuk, Zera Babo Bekisri. So what is that alluding to? So if you look in the standard editions of the Medrash Rabbah, Koheles Rabbah, so they have different pirushim on the bottom of the page. And some explain that the context of the comment of the Medrash is interpreting the pasuk Yedei Shemayim Yetzi Yedei Shneihem, Yirei Shemayim Yetzi Yedei Shneihem, that there were some Talmid Chachamim who excelled in Tanakh, and some Talmid Chachamim who excelled in Torah Shebaal Peh, and he was an expert in both. Yirei Shemayim Yetzi Yedei Shneihem, he excelled in Torah Shebichsav as well as Torah Shebalteh. And others interpret differently. That's what Rav Zevin quotes in Amadim Balocha. Others interpret differently. They have it printed on, I don't know why Rav Zevin printed it in the name of Sam Talmud Chacham. It's printed in the standard editions of the Koheles Rabbah on the bottom of the page. That's from a century ago. That Yirei Shemayim Yetzidei Shem is referring to Rabbah Bo Bikisrin. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that there was a machloikas atanoim, how he's supposed to blow the truah on Rosh Hashanah. Do you blow what we call shvarim truah? Do you blow shvarim? Do you blow truah? So the Gemara says, Askin Rabbah Bo b'Kisrin. Rabbah Bo was an Amoira. He lived in the city Kisrin. He made a takana that you should blow all the logical possibilities. So we blow three times Tashrat, and three times Tashat, and three times Tarat. So that's what it means. Yirei Shamayim, Yetzi Yidei Shneihem. He knew there was a machloikas atanoim. Whether trua means shvarim trua or shvarim or trua, so he made the takana to satisfy all the different opinions. Yirei Shamayim Yetzi Yidei Shneihem. The Vilna Gaon changed a lot of things in history. So one of the things was, for many centuries, the practice was that they would lay in a Haftorah from the printed Chumashim. They have a Yirmiyot, chapter Zion, is the Haftorah Parsha Tzav. All Haftorahs are printed here, but you're not, you're laying from a printed sefer. It's not written on a klaf. It's not a Sefer Shalem. So it's really a Kriya Bal Peh. It's not Kriya Meter Chaksav. So that's what the Talmidei HaGro say based on the Gro, when the Balkori leans Lehoitzi Ditzibri Dechavosam, so he leans from a Klaf. Because Dvarm Shebichsav Yatav HaShalei Yom HaPeh means to transmit it to others, to be Motziyot. To say Kriya Shema Pal Peh was never a problem. Not like the Rabbeinu Yonah said that there was a problem. Then the Goyen writes that the Iker is like the Deya and the Tosis in the second parak in Temura, that Dvarm Shebichsav Yatav HaShalei Yom HaPeh goes on Lehoitzi Acher Medechavosam. So if the Baal Kori is laning the Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah, so everybody's Yotze. If the Baal Mafta is laning the HaTorah from a printed Chumash and no one's Yotze, so everybody has to say along. So that's what the Talmidei HaGro said based on the Gro. You should have at least 9 people say along with the Maftir, the HaTorah, so you have a minion. Otherwise, the other people are not Yotze, because Ram Shabbat Sav, Yatar Shaliyam and Alpele, Hotzi Acherim Yidechei Vosam. So after the days of the Gros, so they started being more makbid. So they started writing on a klaf, Yirmiyah and Yeshayah and Treyosar, the Sifri Hanavim, Yecheskel, all the Sifri Hanavim that we have after. So they started also to write the Megillus on a klaf. For many centuries, they only wrote Megillus Esther on a klaf. And Koelis and Echad, they would lay in, from a printed sefer. So the Vilna Gaon insisted they should write on a klaf. So they, when they wrote Koheles, they wrote chapter Gimel, Lakoz Man Vesel Chol Chavis Tachas Hashemayim Vesel Letters Vesel Amus Vesel Adas Vesel Lotaas Vesel Akanatu etc. All the Itim, all his Manim Vesel Arog Vesel Irpo and so on. They wrote it in 2 different columns, so that's you wrote it like a Shiro, like you write Hazino. You write in 2 different columns, so they. The Rabbanim brought up an objection. You don't gain anything from laning from such a klaf because it's puzzle. Because the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos in Perikol Kisrei that if you wrote the Sefer Torah like a Shira, you wrote a Shira Kisefer Torah, so it's puzzle. The whole Sefer Torah has to be written like prose, and Hazina has to be written like a Shira. And if you wrote it where you put 2 columns where it didn't belong, so the whole thing is puzzle. So you don't gain anything. If you have a klaf of Koheles and it's written in 2 columns, we don't have a masora. That's what they tell you. We don't have a masora that is supposed to be written in 2 columns. So you write it in 2 columns, you've made a shira where it's not supposed to be. So the whole klaf is puzzle. So it's the same as laning from a printed chumash. So you gain nothing by laning from the klaf if you're laning Koheles. The Baal Kori has to memorize the whole Koheles. It may as well lane it from a printed sefer that has the Nikudas and has the Trub. So so in recent years when they discovered the Aleppo Codex, so they found that on Koheles it did have it in 2 columns. So apparently there is a Masor that is supposed to be in 2 columns. That's supposed to be the most authentic text of the Tanakh that we have. So that's number one. But years ago, in the 1800s, they hadn't yet discovered the Aleppo Codex, so they didn't know. So they thought there is no Masorah at all, that it should be printed. They thought the printers had printed Tanakh. They decided to put it in 2 columns without any Masorah. So that's what many Rabbanim taught. You gain nothing by learning from the klaf because it's basal. So one of the Talmidim who had learned in Balozhin was Rabbi Yosel Slutsker. He was the rabbi in Slutsk. His family name was Paimer. Rabbi Yosel Paimer, and he was known as Rabbi Yosel Slutsker. Talmid of Rabbi Chaim Balozhin, he was a member of the board of Balozhin Yeshiva. The board consisted of Musmachim of the Yeshiva who have prominent positions. And whenever there would be an issue in the Yeshiva, whether it's proper to appoint Rav Chaim Soloveitchik or not, because Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was appointed Rosh Yeshiva after he married the Netziv's granddaughter. So they said it was only nepotism. It wasn't Roy to say Yeshiva. So the members of the board came and they said, get up and say Yeshiva. And I'm going to decide whether the Yeshiva is valuable or not, whether it's right. So they decided he's right to say Yeshiva before. There was a machlokes who should be the Rosh Hashiva, whether the Netziv or the Beis HaLevi. So the members of the board came and they got involved. Rabbi Yosel Slutsker was on the board. He was one of the more prominent alumni from the Balozhin Yeshiva. So he's known for his psak on this issue. He wrote Chuvis, and for some strange reason, every 25 years someone was interested in printing the Chuvis, something always came up, and they weren't printed until 30 years ago, when Machon Yerushalayim finally put them out. They didn't understand what was the ikum in Hashemayim, that they didn't allow his Jews to be printed. When they finally printed it, so they wrote this whole background in the Hakdama, when they wrote the biography of Rabbi Yossel Slutsker. So they wrote that Rabbi Yossel said that the Gemara said that Brisa that says if he wrote a Sefer Kishira, he wrote Shira Kemoisa, its puzzle only applies to a Sefer Torah, to Megillah Esther, doesn't apply to the other Sifri HaTanakh. So even if there isn't supposed to be two columns on Eis Latas, Eis Lakanatua, even if it's supposed to be written like prose, not like a poem, but still it wouldn't possibly be ever, because it's not Sefer Torah, and it's not Megillah Esther. It could be it's wrong, but it doesn't possibly be ever. So he's just said over the Gemara. He just said the Taina that the Rabbanim had was not correct, because the Gemara said that Brisa only applies to Sefer Torah. They have a famous comment from the Malbim. Malbim lived at the time that there were a lot of Reform rabbis around. So he said, and he used to speak in shul, he used to say stupidities. So the Malbim said, you look at all of the itim over here, Esla ledes v'esla mus, it's a time to be born and a time to die. Most of the time, you're not born, you're not dying. It's neither this nor that. Esla tas v'esla kanatu, it's a time to plant trees, a time to chop down trees. Most of the time, you're not planting, you're not chopping down the trees. There's an in-between time. Es lifertz ve es livlus. There's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Most of the time you're not killing, you're not healing. Most of the time you're not building houses, you're not knocking down houses, you're leaving all the houses the way they are. But es ledabev, es lachshos, there's a time to speak and a time to be still, to be quiet. Es lachshos ve es ledabev, there is no in-between. Either you're talking or you're quiet. So how come it's not parallel to all the others? So he says, no, there's an in-between. A Reform rabbi gets up and he talks and he says nothing. That's in between. He's not talking and he's not silent. That's the famous comment from the Malbim. The Mesillas Yesharim, in the introduction to his Sefer, quotes the Maimon Chazal with respect to Yaakov Avinu when he ran away from Esav. So it says, Vayikach me'abne amokam v'yosem erashoysam, when he wanted to go to sleep, he says he took a few stones. Then when he woke up in the morning, he says, he took the one stone that he put under his head. But the pasuk before sounds like he took a few stones. So the Ibn Ezra writes in his commentary, he doesn't see why the Chazal saw a stira. So there were several stones, and he took one of the Avnei Hamokam. And that one stone in the morning, Ibn Ezra is sort of attacking the Gemara. He doesn't see where the Gemara saw a steer over here. But that's how the Gemara understood, that there were several stones. When he woke up in the morning, it was Ebn Hashasamar Hashasim. So the Gemara says the stones were fighting with each other. Each stone said, Alaya Nech Tzadikas Rosh, Alaya Nech Tzadikas Rosh. Each stone wanted to have the schus that the Tzadik should rest on him. So Rabbi Shalom made a miracle. All the stones blended in together. They melted in together, and it was one stone. So what are the Chazal driving at over here? There's a famous story about the Chassidus Rebbe sat down on a chair that had holes on the seat, and then he was so heavy, so he fell through. He made a big hole in the bottom. So they explained what it was. Each hole was fighting Alaya Nech Tzadik as Gufa. So all the holes joined together and made one big hole. So the Tzadik fell through. So in Yiddish folklore. So the Mesillas Yesharim quotes this Gemara that the stones were fighting. What do you mean the stones were fighting? He says the Rebbe Shalom created the world. Everything in the world is supposed to serve the tzaddik. Everything is supposed to serve in Avodas Hashem. The Rebbe Shalom created the whole world to serve. And the Rambam writes in Hagdomah to the Pirush HaMishnayos, he gives a mashal that if an Arab sheik builds a mansion in the desert somewhere, he said it based on the Gemara in the Brachas that we had. He builds a palace in the desert, and he has dancing there and parties there, and they get drunk, and he kills people there. So what was the whole purpose of the whole thing and the whole picture of the creation of the world? What wonderful purpose did this mansion serve? So he says if a thinker, if a scholar, if a rabbi is traveling in the desert and he's exhausted and he has to rest up and he'll take a nap in the shade of the mansion, the shade of the palace. So the palace will have served in Avodas Hashem, so it has a tachlis in the Bria. Everything in the world has to have a tachlis for Avodas Hashem. So that's what it means. Each one of the stones, not that they were really arguing with each other, Lionich, Tzadikas, Rosho, all of nature, so to speak, yearns to serve as in Avodas Hashem. So Mesillas Yesharim quotes a medrash on the pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk says, "Reis kol ma'aseh hu elokim." So the medrash comments that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he took him around in Gan Eden and he said, "You see this beautiful world that I created? It's all to serve you, all to serve man. That man should serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by doing all the mitzvahs. If you do the mitzvahs, you will be accomplishing the Tachlis Abriya. If you're going to do Averis, you'll be ruining the whole world. The whole world was created to serve in Avodas Hashem." That's why on the occasion of the Mabul, the whole man had sinned, and then the behemoth was sinning, and the whole world had to be destroyed, because there was no purpose for the whole Briya. The whole purpose of the Briya. Bereshis, Rashi quotes from the Midrash, and Bereshis, Bishvil Yisrael Shenikru Reshis, the whole world was created that people should do Avodas Hashem and the Jewish people should learn Torah and observe the mitzvahs. So that's the pasuk in Kalas Reis Kamaiseh Elikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam HaRishon the whole beautiful world, and he said, "It's up to you to see to it that the world remains in this wonderful state. You shouldn't ruin it. When you do Averis, you're ruining the world." The Mesillas Yesharim quotes another Medrash on Koheles. That's interesting. The pasuk says, "Gam ha'nefesh lo timoleh." The soul is never satisfied with anything that it has in this world. So the Medrash gives a mashal that the farmer marries the princess. He marries the king's daughter. And he knows the king's daughter is used to living in royalty. She lived with fancy dresses and everything. She slept on a fancy bed, but he can't afford that stuff. So he buys her the shmata that has the most colorful patches on it. How does that compare to the beautiful dresses that she had? And he can't afford a fancy bed, so he has an extra sack of hay. He sleeps on hay, so he married the princess, so he has two bundles of hay. She sleeps on a bigger stack of hay. So the queen, so the princess is going to be happy with this. How does this compare to what she was used to by her father? She didn't wear shmata dresses with a lot of patches. She didn't sleep on hay. She slept on a beautiful bed with a mattress. So that's what the pasuk says, "Gam ha'nefesh lo timoleh." The soul comes from tachas kisi ha'kavod. It comes into olam hazeh. So we eat a lot of food. You eat cholent, you eat kugel, you eat candies, you eat sweets, you eat chocolates, you eat things, and you buy clothing, and you have comfortable homes. The soul is not satisfied with anything over here. The soul comes from tachas kisi ha'kavod. Anything in the olam hazeh is not going to satisfy. So we should all realize that. People are always searching for something else. They're always searching. The whole olam hazeh, the whole world of gashmias that we're going to get, is not going to satisfy us, because the soul is used to ruchnias. Soul comes from the olam ruchnias. Gam ha'nefesh lo timoleh, it's like the bas malachim gets married, that the farmer will never be able to satisfy his wife. I remember Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was once speaking in the summertime in Camp Aguda. My parents had a bungalow nearby, so I went to hear him speak. So he told over a story. I think what he said was, if I'm not mistaken, that he learned by Rav Baruch Ber, and Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was still alive. And someone wanted to make a major donation to the yeshiva, but the one who was giving the money to the yeshiva was not a Shem Shabbos. And he had done business on Shabbos. Rav Baruch Ber was a big tzaddik, he was known to be a big tzaddik. He was afraid to take the money. He didn't know if he allowed to take the money. So he went to ask Rav Chaim, is he allowed to take the money? So Rav Chaim told him he should take the money. Rav Chaim said the pasuk in the Kohelet that says, "Al titzadik habi v'al tirsha harbi." So when Rav Baruch Ber came back to the yeshiva, he said he saw the way Rav Chaim, his Rebbe, said over the pasuk, and he waved his finger to this direction and to that direction, "Al titzadik harbi and al tirsha harbi" is the next pasuk. So he waved his finger to the degree angle, "Al titzadik harbi," don't be so frum, was the same degree angle to the other direction, al tirsha harbi. So he was medayik that it's the same degree of error. Because Rav Chaim waved his finger to the same degree angle, you see the zelba mos aver, the same degree of error. Baruch Ber was medayik from Rav Chaim as a twist of the finger. Yeah. We have a din that a husband is not supposed to hug his wife when she's a nida until after she goes to the mikvah. We have harchokas. We have a lot of harchokas. So there's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch. If the wife is in Avelis and Shiva, and one of the dinim of Shiva is the Osa B'Tashmish Amito. So is there such a din then also? Because a lot of times when someone dies in the family, so the wife feels, if one of her parents died, she feels very alone, and she can use a hug from her husband. So let's say if a child dies, it's even worse. So if the husband will give her a hug, so she'll feel that she has a little more support. So the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch on Yeridei quote that there's a Targum on Kohelis with comments on the Pasuk but the different itim. So it says, Es lachavok ve'es lirchok mechabek. There's a time to hug someone. There's a time that you're not supposed to hug someone. So the Targum says it goes on Shivisim Avelis. So during Avelis you shouldn't hug your wife. So they say it's Nochon Lahachmer on this. And Yom Kippur also it says, also B'tashma Shamit, it says the husband should treat his wife like B'mei Nidusa, that they shouldn't hold hands and so on, as a harchoka, not to be together, not to violate the din. Okay, everyone should be blessed with the Gmar Chasim HaTeva. I think the marathon begins now. Okay.
Tender gave us a Milish year.
Mm-hmm.
He said that his shver was when Sanik had all of his sons brits and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has the same comment as the Vilna Gaon that they never saw.
Yeah. Won't be allowed to ask somebody else to make your daffa for them to be extended if you don't want them to know it's you.